is renewed like the eagle. Huh? Boy, I'm still young. He is renewing me. Oh, I got a few pains. But he's renewing me. Like he renews the eagle. And I know he care more for Willie Duncan than he do an eagle. But the eagle, you know, as he grow in age, he starts shedding his feathers. All the old feathers. And he begin to grow new feathers. And as he grow the new feathers, he gathers strength to go out and fly. Mount up. So God renews our strength day by day. And I'm so glad Isaiah got into it. Say, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, not faint. Otherwise, you hang around God. He will renew your strength. He will satisfy your soul every day, long as you live. Thank God.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
God, glory to God. Well, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Today is ministry day, and we are thinking and praying about moving farther and further into ministry work and moving believers off the pews and into participation. And they've got the overflow fellowship area set up with all of the ministries represented, and I pray that you've been praying and seeking God about what is your place in ministry work. And I want to say, even at this point, that God should be the one by His Spirit to lead you into the place where you ought to be. Not people pulling at you and people telling you, I think you'll make a good this and a good that. You won't make a good nothing unless the Spirit of the Lord has equipped you to be in that ministry. Amen. God bless. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this day that you've made. We've made up our minds. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. You're a good God. In spite of what goes on, in spite of what is going on, in spite of what is getting ready to go on, you are a good God. And we've made up our minds that we shall always look to the hills from whence cometh our help. For all our help comes from you. And we say thank you for that. Now, Lord, open unto the text to us and meet us by your Spirit. Tailor the truth we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might not only hear your word, but obey your word. And God, then give us power to practice these principles so that we might be profitable in them and more assuredly give you the praise for them. It is in Jesus' name we pray, And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And it reads on this wise. Now the end of the commandment is charity or love. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to ask the question, what is to be the bottom line in our ministry to others? What is to be the bottom line? Bottom line, where you have made up your mind that this is going to be the end result of ministry to others. Now, what's important about this is this letter is written by Paul to young Timothy, and he's sharing with him some very important rules of operation and teaching him how to focus his faith in the proper place. But even out of focusing his faith, it must first derive out of a heart of love. So the first thing that we see from the text is, if we're talking about ministering to people and being effective in our ministry to people, if you're praying about where do you fit in ministry and what is the call of the Lord upon your life, I don't care what ministry you are in, what I'm going to share with you today is important to be adhere to. It is important to be clear about. It is important to operate out of. No matter what level of ministry you're working on or out of, no matter where God has called you from, this is applicable to all areas of ministry. Now, according to the word, when we see this, it's important for us to know the first thing is we have to love from a pure heart. Somebody say, love from a pure heart. Simply, it means loving people with no strings attached. Loving with a pure heart is loving with no strings attached, not with ungodly motives, not loving folk with a purpose to get something from them or to be connected in some kind of way. It's loving them with a pure heart. It's important to understand. Luke 23 and 34 says, you know, while Jesus was hanging on the cross dying, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, he loved them. Now, he's dying for them. He's paying a price for them. He's committed himself to saving them. And while they are scourging him, while they are railing on him, while they're talking bad about him, while they're cursing him, while they're doing all of these things, because his love for them is so pure, he's able to look beyond their faults and still see their needs. See, one of the things that you're going to learn about ministry work is that everybody you minister to won't appreciate your ministry. I said everybody you minister to won't appreciate your ministry. So you can't get mad with them because they don't appreciate your ministry. You can't get mad with them because they hate on you, they lie on you, they talk about you. You can't hate them because they hate you. Your ministry is a ministry of pure love. Whether they love you back or not, whether they treat you right or not, your love is the guiding and guarding force of what you do for God. And you go through praying for folk and you prepare for folk and you go before God and you sacrifice your time and you meditate and you do all of this for them. And they sit up there and they act like they're going to sleep on you. They said they're writing notes, they talking to other folk, they doing this, they doing that, they texting, they know, and you want to call them out and talk about them. But more than that, you know God sees them. And here's what you need to know, that even while they're playing, because some of them like to play like that, you know, they like to look in a way that seems to be disinterested, but most of them are looking in more intent and interested than some of the folk who are just staring straight at you. But regardless of what their motives are, you have got to love with a pure heart.
And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, it's not always easy. Peter said, you know, dealing with the issue with forgiveness, he said, listen, I ain't gonna lie to you, I got forgiveness issues. See, if my brother forgive, you know, if I forgive my brother one time and he do it again, should I forgive him again? And then he thinks he's talking bold, and he said, well, what about if I forgive him seven times? Now Peter's expecting Jesus to say, oh man, if you forgive him seven times, woo, you holy. But the Lord said, no, seven times 70. And so Peter had to ask of a request of the Lord that I think some of us might need to follow his example. He said, increase my faith. Increase my, I ain't got the faith right now to forgive him seven times 70. I'm going to be real with you. I need some increased faith. The reason why Jesus didn't turn Peter away when he fell and he missed it was because he loved him with a pure love. As a matter of fact, he even told him before he fell that you're going to fall. I got inside news that the devil wants to sift you as wheat. He has targeted you out to tear you down. But I prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And then he tells him something that's so important that I think you ought to hear it. He says, when you're converted, which means you're going to fall. But when you fall, you're also going to get up. And it's after you get up from your fall. Because right now, you are acting holier than thou. You're acting like you're a super Christian who can't fall, who can't miss it, who can't mess up. You got it all together. Though everybody else forsake me, everybody else deny me, though everybody else do this, you can promise me that you're going to be faithful to me after you get up from your fall. Tell you what I want you to do. Help your brothers. Strengthen them. Let them know you can't do it in the flesh. It requires the spirit. Your flesh, listen, is weak, but your spirit is willing. And so he had to minister to him so he could minister to them. And listen to this. Sometimes we can't minister effectively like God wants us to until we've fallen. I know that's mind-blowing to some of you all because you think God only used perfect people. No, he used people who know that he is a perfect God, who loves them in spite of their imperfections. So the first thing is you've got to love them with a pure heart. Second thing is, he says, you've got to love them from a clear conscience. Not only must you love them from a pure heart, if you're going to do effective ministry, you've got to love people from a clear conscience. What does that mean? It simply means ministering to people out of pure motives, guilt-free. And this is only possible, one, if you understand what God wants you to do concerning your calling. You see, if I understand what God wants me to do concerning my calling, then that means I don't have ulterior motives. I understand that what God's called me to do is this. And others may not understand what God's called me to do, but as long as I understand what God has called me to do, I can minister with a clear conscience. It may be something other folk are scared to do, and when God calls me to do, say, look at him, he think he's something, he won't just be seen. She just want to be seen. She just want to be this. He just want to be that. Just because they're afraid to do it, and I know God has called me to do that, he's pricked my heart and he has made it clear, this is your assignment. Who will go for me? And I already told the Lord, if you need somebody here, am I, send me. And so maybe all the others he's gone to, and they said no. And I said yes. And so when I go, just because of their idiosyncrasies and their hang-ups and all of their fractious faults and failures, they may be afraid to go, but I made up my mind. With a clear conscience, I'm going to do what God said to do. So I must realize that that's important. But second thing I must realize, that I must accept my God-given limitations in fulfilling that calling, and that's my humanity. One is my calling. The second is my humanity. Here's what's important for me to realize. That God has made me, me. And I may not be able to speak like others speak. Might not have the command of the human language. Might not have the power to articulate my thoughts in such a clear and concise manner that even a child could understand. Might not be able to sing like some of the best soloists. And might not be able to encourage folk like other folk. But what I've got to understand is God has made me for my ministry. The only reason I fail in ministry is because either I'm in the wrong ministry or I won't minister like he told me to minister. If I don't have the natural native gift of the black preacher to be able to honk it off and hoop it and put a sweet moan in a beautiful tone, then why try? That ain't my gift. But if God has given me the ability to look in Scripture and see the divine and the supernatural by the Holy Ghost and bring out a revelation that he has given me in a special anointing, then if I stay right there, I'll have folk hooping and shouting without me making myself look like a fool. Maybe it ain't my thing to be hollering this and the screaming to do all that. But the flat-footed stand there and open up that word. So that when folk leave, they got a message on their heart. They've had a word from the Lord. They know I've been with the Lord because the Lord has spoken directly through me to them. That's more important. Being spiritual in the sense that God has called you to speak truth, or trying to be superficial and spectacular. So folk can say, boy, didn't he cut up today? That is by what he did, cut up. Now, I ain't saying anything is wrong with me. Don't get it wrong, because nobody loves the hooping ministry, the celebrating ministry more than me. But as I have grown, I've recognized that that too ought to be uttered and unctioned by the Holy Ghost. That there are sometimes I can't even hold my peace. I can't even get through the message for wanting to celebrate it. And that's wonderful, because that's the unctioning of the Holy Ghost on the inside. But hear this. Sometime the message is so important that he don't want any distractions. He want to make sure that that person or persons he has given this word to get it without the sweet moan and the beautiful tone. And when they get the victory of that word on the inside of them, they will do all the shouting that's necessary. And so you got to understand that you must accept your God-given limitations and fulfill that in your calling. And that is your humanity. That is what God has given to you. And when you appreciate that God has made no other like you, and when you tap into him and minister out of the spirit he has given you to minister out of, inclusive of your humanity and your limitations, then you will be the best you that God can have. But then the last thing I want to say about that is you must appropriate the unconditional grace of God for life and calling through your resources. Your resources. In other words, you have got to realize that when God has called you to ministry, he has given or will give to you everything that's necessary to complete the ministry. Amen. You see, if God has called me to pastor, then he ought to give me some people. If he called me to pastor. Now, if he called me to preach, that's a different story. I got to go find people. But here's what Jeremiah 3:15 says. I'll give you pastors according to my own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Well, listen at this. If he makes me a pastor, then that means he's giving me some people. Now, that might be a helpful holy hint to somebody who say God's called them to pastor and then gave them no people. That's like me saying, God called me to sing and gave me no voice. Hear me, people. I'm trying to help you to understand why many succeed in ministry and why many fail in ministry. You see, it's important for you to recognize that God gives you the resources. If he gives you the vision, he gives you the provision. You know that. So that means if God has called me to do a certain thing, then it's also his responsibility to give me the resources to complete that certain thing. And so when I recognize that, then I realize that when I do what God tells me to do, it's God's responsibility to give me the resources to go along with completing the ministry he has assigned me to. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. God's never going to tell you to give somebody something you don't have. You know, you might have an unction, an inkling, a desire to want to bless somebody, do something for somebody, this, that, and the other. But listen, if God wanted you to do that and put the desire in you, then quickly after the desire should come the resources. Otherwise, I know that's just something I wanted to do. It was a good thing I wanted to do, but it was what I, not God. Because when it relates to ministry and blessings, God is under responsibility and warrant to give me what I need to do ministry with. When Jesus sent them out, he said, listen, don't bring this, don't bring that. Wherever you go, listen, resources will be provided for you. Don't take this, don't take that, don't, just go. Doors will be open, way will be made, food will be given, on and on and on. Everything you need to do ministry with and do ministry for will be provided for you. And so we've got to understand we need to love from a clear conscience. But then the last thing we need to do is love from a sincere faith. A faith unfeigned is sincere. And that's simply loving people without hypocrisy, without being hypocritical. That there are just some people I just don't like. And there are some people who just don't like me. And we're going to keep it real. I ain't going to skin and grin and laugh in your face when I know you lying and talking about me. You trying to hurt me. You're trying to do me in. I'm not going to do that back to you, but I'm not going to be a hypocrite. And so I'm going to be sincere in my faith. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do it in love, but I do not have to like those ways that you've got. Or you don't have to like mine. But listen at this. I'm going to be sincere in what God says, in what God has challenged me to do, in what God has called us to do. And I'm going to be clear about that. And I'm not going to leave your part out of it. God has said, do it. I'm not going to be like, you know, Peter and them were when the Samaritans didn't want Jesus to cut through to make his way to Calvary. He said, Lord, listen, let's send fire down and burn them up. Now, I feel like that sometimes. I'm going to just keep it real with you. I got some folk around me sometime. I just want to tell, like, just like, look, Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel and prayed a 63-word prayer, and fire came down and burned up all that stuff. Sometime I want to pray a prayer like that about some of these heathens I got working with me. But I'm going to be sincere, and I'm going to walk in faith and love and say, wait a minute, God, I know you're not through with them. I know they sit here and hear this word every Sunday. How can they hear this word and walk opposite of this word and act like they don't know you and they serve in a capacity where they're only supposed to serve if they love you? I want to pray the prayer, burn them up. And then if I don't want to say burn them up now, we'll burn them up later. I'm sorry. But I'm like, Lord, 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 you know my limitations. And as I grow older, when I look back and see how I've messed up my life in so many ways worrying about what folks say, and the same folk that don't mean you no good want to see you fall, want to see you mess up, want to see your life turned around, not for the good, but for the worse, hoping something happens to you, that you fall off of the place that God has got you on the wall. And I've tried to please folk and wind up being hypocritical to myself and to my God, trying to please folk who didn't give a hoot. So you got the love from a sincere faith. If I'm going to get what I'm going to get, I'm going to get it because God want me to get it. And if God don't give it to me, then I don't need it. Or he's got other resources, he can get it from another place. But I'm not going to let down my integrity. I'm not going to let down my God. I'm not going to let down what my calling is. I'm not going to let down my God to please folk who don't please God. And so loving from a sincere faith means simply loving people without hypocrisy. Being real with them. Judas kissing, betraying Christ illustrates a hypocritical love. Luke 22:47-48. Jesus called him a friend, but he was no friend to Jesus. And Jesus knew he wasn't a friend to him. And the kiss he gave him was a hypocritical kiss. Be mindful of the hypocritical kiss. Be mindful of the hypocritical pat on the back. Be mindful of the hypocritical smile in your face. Be mindful of the hypocritical face people put on in front of you and the things they say behind your back. Be mindful that everybody that's in the Christian circle doesn't have the circle of Christ inside of them, where they love the brothers and sisters in spite of their shortcomings and their faults and their fractures and their failing. Listen, and knowing you're dealing with hypocrites, don't be hypocritical like them. Love them with the love of God. If you can't love them with your love, you're only commanded by God to love them with God's love. It's a bonus if you can love them with your love too. I wish somebody caught that. You're only mandated by the word of God to love them with God's love. And when you love them with God's love, that's the most pure and perfect love you could ever love them with. And so do not be hypocritical in ministry, because I'll tell you this one thing. One thing about a hypocrite is this. A hypocrite knows another hypocrite. And if you're loving a hypocrite with pure love, they'll know you're not like them. They'll know you're not like them. They'll know you love them enough to tell them the truth, even though they tell you lies. And they sugarcoat and they glaze over stuff to you. They know you're coming true, pure, straight, and correct. And the whole desire is that they would change and be more like Jesus. So if you're going to go in ministry work, as I close this message today, do realize that you have to love with a pure love. And you have to love with a sincere and clear conscience. And then thirdly, you've got to love from a sincere faith. And when you do that, the bottom line is you will be better in ministry that God has called you to do than anybody faking, pretending, performing, and putting on could ever be. To God be the glory. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, this opportunity today for you to come to the Lord. Opportunity for you to say, Lord, I know that you've called me to minister. I know that I have more to do for you than what I'm doing. And today I want to make a commitment to you to love you, to work for you, to witness for you. today. Salvation. The indwelling person, present, the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever you call it.